Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Create a brighter future for your employees with Zurich Corporate Pensions. Trust excellence. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
Earlier today, jail sentences were handed down to two getaway drivers involved in the Regency Hotel murder of Kinahan gang member David Byrne in 2016. Jason Bonney was sentenced to 8.5 years, while Paul Murphy was jailed for 9 years after they provided significant assistance to the Hutch organised crime group in the shooting. To discuss the significance of all of this, we're joined by former Garda Assistant Commissioner Michael O'Sullivan, who headed up the precursor to the Garda Drugs and Organised Crime Bureau and was then appointed director of the EU's Anti-Drug Smuggling Agency. But first, we're going to go to legal affairs correspondent with the Irish Times, Mary Carolyn. And Mary, thank you for joining us. As I said, Paul Murphy and Jason Bonney sentenced today. Can you take us through what was heard in court?
Yes, Sarah. The three judges of the Special Criminal Court, Ms. Justice Tara Burns, Judge Sarah Berkeley, and Judge Grony Malone, had found Jason Bonney, who's from Drimley Woods in Portmarnock in County Dublin, and Paul Murphy, who's age 61 and from Cherry Avenue, Swords, County Dublin, guilty last month in a lengthy judgment after a 52-day trial of driving getaway vehicles for the attack on the Regency Hotel, during which Kinahan gang member David Byrne was shot dead. And the judges heard sentencing evidence last Monday, and what was happening today was they were delivering their decision. It's all in the context where in their judgment last month they had acquitted Jared Hurt of a charge of the murder of David Byrne, but they convicted Murphy and Bonney of facilitating the attack by providing getaway vehicles. And in various findings concerning Murphy, they found that he, knowing of the existence of the Hutch criminal organisation, had provided access to his Toyota Avensis taxi at St Vincent's GAA Club on the 5th of February 2016, the day of the attack, intending to facilitate the commission of a serious offence, namely the murder of David Byrne by the Hutches. And having regard to Bonney's movements on the same day, the court was satisfied that he, knowing of the existence of the Hutch criminal organisation, provided access to a black BMW X5 Jeep, at St Vincent's GAA Club, intending to facilitate the commission of a serious offence by the Hutches.
So, as I said, Justice Tara Burns then stated that both men had provided significant assistance for the Regency attack in the ways that you have outlined there.
That's correct. And in their decision today, they said that an offence such as the attack in the Regency, it can't be carried out without significant planning and coordination and the involvement of others. And she said that both men had provided significant assistance and had provided intentional assistance to the Hutch criminal organisation. And she said that their offences were at the higher end of the scale for that category of offence. She said that both knew a serious crime was occurring involving six men requiring to be individually removed and were part of a planned criminal operation, and that their offence was aggravated by the fact that a serious offence, a murder, occurred regardless of whether they had knowledge of the seriousness of what was planned in this attack. She found that both were at the centre of operations at Buckingham Village for the attack, from where the Regency hit team left on the day of the attack to carry out the murder, and that they both had collected individual attackers in their vehicles and they'd driven them away. She said that the appropriate headline sentence was 10 years, but she took into account various mitigation factors, including the long work record of both men and that they hadn't previously been on the Garda radar. And she imposed 9 years on Murphy and 8.5 years on Bonney.
Now, earlier this week, separately but related, Mary, Gerard Hutch made an application to have his legal fees reimbursed, given that he was found not guilty of the murder of David Byrne. Those fees are believed to be at least $250,000. Where are things at with this?
Yeah, I would suggest at the very least, Sarah, lawyers are notoriously reticent when it comes to discussing legal costs. But Jared Hutch wasn't on criminal legal aid, which would be significantly lower than commercial fees, full stop. So I would suspect that they're probably well over 300,000. But again, everybody's been very reticent about this. But the court has fixed the DPP has said it's opposing the cost application, which might suggest that there's significant costs, and that application is going to be heard on the 7th of June next.
Okay. And before I let you go, Mary, there separately again today, there was an arrest made in relation to the murder of Eddie Hutch, who was shot dead in 2016 as part of the Hutch-Kinahan feud. What do we know about that?
Very little at the moment. A man was arrested by Gardaí this morning in connection with the murder of 58-year-old Eddie Hutch outside his home on Poplar Row in Dublin's North Inner City. That killing happened 3 days after the Regency attack, and Gardaí believe it was in retaliation for the murder of David Byrne at the Regency. The man who was arrested this morning is aged in his 40s, and he's been held in the Garda station in North Dublin as we speak, I believe.
All right, Mary Carolyn, thank you very much for bringing us up to date on all of that. As I mentioned, we also have Michael O'Sullivan on the line. Michael, former Garda Assistant Commissioner, who headed up the precursor to the Garda Drugs and Organised Crime Bureau. And you're also Director of the EU's Anti-Drug Smuggling Agency. And thank you very much for joining us today. 6 years on from the Regency Hotel shooting, it remains, as we can hear, there developments even now, a significant Garda operation. And the sentencing of Jason Bonney and Paul Murphy is a big part of that.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, we're almost 7 years on, but that's what happens in long-term investigations. Like an operation like the Regency Airport Hotel attack requires huge planning, huge logistics. Individuals that were sentenced today are just a part of this whole military-style operation. If you didn't have the logistical people, you couldn't have the operations. It's as simple as that. And the fact that it has taken so long for their for them to be brought to court and for them to be dealt with by the courts, it just highlights the persistence and determination of the investigation teams that are investigating this very complex case. These operations are planned and they're designed to leave no trace, and to leave no DNA evidence, and to leave no treads, and to come along afterwards. And the better they're planned, the more difficult they are to solve. So to come along and try and pick up those tiny treads and build them into a case, obviously the guards have been very successful at that. But that's why it takes that long, and it takes that much work and that much time.
It was a turning point, really, wasn't it, the Regency shooting, for both organised criminal gangs and also the Gardaí. Can you outline the impact of it in your view?
Yeah, I suppose I remember I called to the scene afterwards it happened. And, you know, when you look at the footage, you really knew things were never going to be the same again. If they can put a team of guys with AK-47s in the middle of the day to run around a hotel trying to kill people, we had gone up to a whole new league. It was a whole new ball game. The guards had to be better prepared. The guards had to be better resourced. The reason these people did what they did was the guards at the time were some 2,000 members under strength, and there were serious cutbacks. So they saw the opportunity. They saw the vacuum and the gap. But once it happened and you saw the level that the violence had got to, like, these people could have appeared anywhere, anytime with those guns and done anything. So it was a milestone in crime in Ireland, basically.
And how did things change, do you think, then, since then, for Gardaí in particular, and how they were tracking and investigating the criminal gangs?
Well, the first thing that happened, the guards were given more resources. It was a wake-up call from the government at the time to get more guards and to resource them better. We then had armed units allocated, as in armed response vehicles assigned to the city, which made a huge impact on the level of criminality operating with firearms. The fact that they knew that, you know, they could turn around the corner and meet an armed unit. There was a higher probability than there was, let's say, in 2016. So the allocation of people with firearms, more vehicles, more investigation units, and more resources, basically, more financial resources. These things, these investigations take time, and time is money. And you need that with those resources.
But just on that point, though, it has been a very long and tedious process, as you say, almost 7 years since the crime itself. Some criticism over all of that.
Certainly, I have no criticism. I think if the results speak for themselves. If you look back at the number of hit teams, for want of a better term, the number of murder groups who went out to kill people, who did kill people and were caught, and who went out subsequently to try and kill other people and were caught red-handed by the good work of the guards at great risk to themselves, and the sheer number of gunmen since 2016 affiliated to the Kinahan grouping that are in prison at the moment. So it's you know, the results are there to be seen in relation to the investigation.
Do you think the sentences handed down today, which, as Mary Carolyn was outlining, are at the higher end of the scale, will they send a message to gangland criminals? And will, is that a message you think gangland criminals will hear?
Yeah, I believe it is. If you know, people, the next operation or the next crime group who are going to carry out an operation and want people to give logistical support to use their cars to go from A to B, or to hide weapons, or to basically give support, will in the back of their mind think, I could get charged with this, you know, and I could do a sentence out of this. So it's a big wake-up call. These people are out on the periphery. These people never thought this could happen to them. And it's certainly a wake-up call for criminals, yeah.
And just finally then, Michael, we were speaking to different people in the programme over the last couple of weeks who were talking about how often these waves of gangland crime can come in waves like that, and that in around 2016 was a peak and we're in somewhat of a trough at the moment, but that there will always be another wave waiting to come in a new generation. What can be done to try to prevent that happening, to try to prevent going back to where we were then?
Resources to the Garda Síochána will improve investigations, will apprehend criminals, will prevent murders. It's a very nature of organised crime, whether they're kidnapping people or they're selling drugs, that there's violence. It's a jungle that they're operating in, and one group is trying to outdo another. That's always the way and then you throw in cocaine in the middle of all that. So it's highly volatile. It's a tinderbox. It could spark at any stage. You may get a trough now and again, but it's a lull before a storm, because there will be more shootings in the future, at some days in the future, and groups tend to fall out with each other. It's the nature of the beast.
Very interesting to speak to you. Thank you very much for joining us. As former Garda Assistant Commissioner Michael O'Sullivan.
You're welcome.